you so much for joining us again this week. We appreciate those of you turn on and log in and check up with us each week and listen to the messages. And we thank you that some of you are sharing this with other family and friends, and more than just Barbie's Grove folks are hearing it. And we appreciate sharing the gospel with you. We pray that God is blessing you, that every need that you have is being met, and that the presence of the Lord is very precious. May we pray. Father, as we bow before you today, so grateful for Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. And Father, today as we pray, we realize that there may be people in their homes, maybe in their car, listening on their phone or their iPad. But wherever they are, Father, I thank you that you're there, that there's no place that you're not. And I pray that today that the Spirit of the living God would touch each heart, meet every need. Father, I pray that as each person listens to the messages, to the music, to the prayers, that somehow the Holy Spirit will speak in a powerful way to their hearts. Lord, you know what we need. You know where we need encouragement, where we need instruction. Give it to us. And Father, should there be one or more that's listening that do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today the Holy Spirit would speak in such a way that he would draw them to salvation and eternal life. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Let's sing one together if we can, please. I know we can. You're at home. I'm here. But let's sing one together, a great hymn of the church that we sing together a lot. And that's How Great Thou Art. Deuteronomy 33:26 says, there is none more greater than unto God. Certainly we do serve a great God. Let's sing How Great Thou Art together. We get down on the chorus. I want you to sing it with me. How great thou art, Brenda. Thank you. then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior. It's Sunday, May the 3rd, and we welcome you via our webcast to the Barbers Grove service for Sunday, May the 3rd. I have a few announcements for you I'd like to pass along to you. Let's not forget Bible school beginning on July the 6th and the 10th. We still need workers, and I know it's kind of hard for you to plan that far ahead right now with all the other things that are upon us. But if you would please call your deacon and volunteer for the services here. We will continue on for at least another week with the current services the way that we have them now. Your deacons are meeting each Wednesday via the phone conference, and we address this each and every week. And if there are any changes, we'll be in touch with you via your deacon. We'll call you, or it'll be our one call system. But you will be advised, but it looks like it's another week at least before we can get back together in some form, some way. The governor has issued still stay-at-home orders, and so we will be going back. We'll transition back slowly, I'm sure, but we will get back to meeting with each other. Since we did miss the quarterly conference, if you desire and wish a financial report from the church, if you will call your deacon. Your deacon has the information, and he can pass it along to you. That's all the new announcements I have at this time. We'll now go to the prayer request that I have this morning. Let's remember Pamela, the pastor's wife, Pamela, and her mother. Her mother is not doing very well right now, and as you know, she is suffering from dementia. And so let's keep Pam and her mother in our prayers. Pamela's having some long nights with her, and so please keep her in your prayers. While we're in that area, we need to remember my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law, we had to move her, Ruth Whitley. We moved her into skilled nursing last week from assisted living. She has taken some falls, and we felt the best thing to do was move her into skilled nursing hall. Now, she's still at Trinity Place, but she is in skilled nursing. Let's remember the Thomasville Orphanage. The Thomasville Orphanage and the children there, let's keep them in our prayer. I'll be having a full report for you as to what our grand total was in offering next Sunday morning. Let's remember the smaller churches that are being affected financially in our association. We were advised of that in a meeting, and I know there's some churches, and obviously I'll never call their names, but there are some churches that are having some very hard times right now due to the coronavirus. Let's remember little Bryson, and let's remember him. Let's remember he's in St. Jude, and let's remember his prayer and lift him up in our prayers. Gary Honeycutt's mother had a stroke. Let's lift her up in our prayers, please. Remember the people that are going back to work and starting to going back to work now and beginning to move back in and transition back into work and all those around them. Let's keep them in our prayer. Keep praying. Keep up. The pastor has asked us to keep our prayer times active during this time, so please do that. Have special prayer with your families and each week or more often than that even. Also, in our prayer request, we want to remember that we had some deaths in our community. Let's remember the Jackie Hahn family. Let's remember Roy Lee Helms family, the Francis Smith family. Also, let's remember Angie Barbie's mother. I just heard that she has been in the hospital now, and she's there for dehydration and having some other issues. So keep Angie's mom in your prayers. The pastor advised me that Marie is doing well. I have a praise report for her, that she is doing well, and that the tests that she had all tested out negative. So praise report for Marie. I also would like you all to remember in prayer and keep praying for our team who meet here each Saturday and present this service with God's help for each of you each week. It was a small team, but I'd like for you to pray for them. Remember our pastor, with Pastor Ed, with Wes and Kathy, Tonda, Brenda. And yes, I'd like for you to lift me up too in prayer before the Lord. And let's pray at this time. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this time, Lord, of this time of being safe. This time of being healthy. Lord, there's so many people being affected by this horrible virus. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the blessings you give us, this church. Lord, I thank you for each and every day that we have in good health. But Lord, I know there's those that we need to lift up today. There's those in nursing homes, and we read the article this morning. And Lord, we pray for those people that are hurting today. Lord, we pray for my mother-in-law. We pray for Miss Ruth. We pray for Pamela's mother, Lord, and we pray for her dearly as they are now working with her. And then, Lord, with the kids in the Thomasville Orphanage and the workload that is on those people there because of no school, the kids are there, and to double the efforts they have to do, we pray for them at this time. We lift up our smaller churches in our community, Lord, and our association that need help and need a touch. We pray for little Bryson, Lord, who is at St. Jude. We pray for him. We pray for those who have lost loved ones. We pray for Gary. We pray for Gary Honeycutt's mother who's had a stroke. We pray for all of those, Lord, who have lost loved ones, the Jackie Hahn family, the Roy Lee Helms, the Francis Smith family. All those, we pray for them, and we lift up their families to you. We pray for Angie's mom, Lord, as she's in the hospital with dehydration. We pray for her. And then, Lord, there's Marie for a prayer for a praise report. We thank you, Lord, for her health. And then, Lord, as we go forward, Lord, here today, we lift up our pastor to you. We're so thankful for Pastor Ed. Thank you for his willingness to come and support. We thank you for the newsletter that he gives us each and every week, and for the inspiration that we all receive from it. And now, Lord, we ask that you will be each one is here today, and will be. I pray for them. I pray for Brenda. I pray for Wes. I pray for Kathy. And I pray for Pastor Ed. And then, Lord, I would ask to not be selfish. Lord, I pray for good health and pray for me. And I lift myself up to you, Lord. And the reason for that is I want to be able to serve others. And, Lord, I ask for good health that I may be able to serve. And then, Lord, as we begin now and go further with this service, we thank you, Lord, for it. We thank you for each one at home that will be listening, and we pray for them, each and every one. Lead and guide and direct us, and Lord, in these blessings and hour, I pray in your name. Amen.
Good morning. I wanted to sing this first song for my father. It was his absolute favorite song, and he has these words engraved on his tombstone because the song just meant so much to him. So, Daddy, this is for you.
With each breath of life I take, love.
For Miss Eva Ann, and in memory of Miss Frances Pope. I know that they both have enjoyed the song tremendously. And I would also like to say, Robert, this is your favorite, so please enjoy.
There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see, and the I
It's been a lot of years for some of us. But whether we started school in kindergarten or first grade, they always started at a certain place. Made sure you knew your numbers, 1, 2, 3. Made sure you knew your ABCs. It all started with that. And you remember those exciting stories? Run, Jane, run. See, Jane, run. See, Jane, run up the hill. See, Jane, run down the hill. Boy, that's big stuff when you're 5 or 6 years old. And it doesn't matter whether we're 5 or 6, that's the way it began. And over the years, the words got bigger, more complicated, the sentences got longer, the books got deeper. But it all goes back to the ABCs. If you don't know the ABCs, you can't read the simple stuff and you can't read the harder stuff. In the Christian life, there's some ABCs that we need to remember. There are things that we go on and grow into deeper things, but if we forget the ABCs, we forget what's really important. We can get a raise from those ABCs. And today I just feel impressed to start with another look at one of those basic spiritual truths. And that is the importance, the necessity, and the power of the blood of Jesus. Let's start in the book of Exodus, chapter 12. The book of Exodus, chapter 12. And we look at how God introduced, in a sense, the blood to the Israelites. You remember they were in slavery. And God sends Moses to deliver them. And over a period of time, there were a number of plagues, and Pharaoh said, "You people can go." And then as soon as the plague was over, he said, "No, they can't go." And at last, it comes to the very end, which is going to be the 10th plague. And Moses, from the leadership of God, gives Israel this instruction. You're to take a special lamb on a certain day. It's to be a perfect lamb. It's to be a pure lamb, a spotless lamb. You're to kill it. You're to prepare it to eat in a certain way, but you're to take the blood and put it on the side of the post and over the door of your house. Because tonight, a death angel's coming through, and the firstborn of every family is going to die unless the blood is over the doorpost. And so, of course, the Israelites did that. The Egyptians did not. And a great, great sorrow came over the land of Egypt that night. Now, it doesn't tell us anywhere in the Bible that I remember that any of the Israelites didn't obey or didn't comply with what Moses had instructed them to do. But I can always speculate, if they're like folks today, do you reckon there's one good old boy that got busy? And he was so busy and he came down to about dark and he said, "Honey, I ain't got time to kill a lamb and do all of that. Just make us a tomato sandwich for supper." And he never got around to putting the blood on the doorpost. What would have happened? Death in his family. How many people there are, especially in America, who've heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? They know they need to get saved. They know to give their heart and life to the Lord, but they're going to do it someday, whenever, a little bit later, after I've sowed some wild oats, sooner, maybe later, but they never get around to it. And then life is suddenly over, and it's too late. I think of a story that a pastor friend of mine told me. visiting a person in the hospital down in Chatham County. The doctor had already told the man in the hospital bed, you've got maybe 24 hours to live. And my preacher friend was witnessing to him, saying, don't you need to give your heart and life to Jesus? And he says, not now, I'm going to wait a little while. Now, I don't know whether the man ever gave his heart and life to the Lord or not, but you know, if the doctor says you have 24 hours to live, time is running out. If you're one of those who've been putting off accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, don't do it any longer. Accept Him today. I wonder if there was maybe another good old boy that thought, well, you know, I believe I'll just leave some money out there at the door. When that death angel comes by, you'll see that money that I've left there for him, and he'll pass my family by. The reason I mention that is because of something I heard somebody say about 60 years ago. I heard this guy complaining that he had sent money to a certain church about twice a year, and he says, the preacher never comes to see me. Said, I send money over there twice a year, and the preacher never comes. Well, I wasn't a pastor then. I was just a teenager, so I didn't know. But now, I don't look at the finances. I don't know what anybody gives. Now, the Holy Spirit usually tells me before too long, and after a few months, I know who the givers and who the pretenders are, but it's doubtful that the pastor ever even knew that this guy gave anything. And I knew him another maybe 40 years or more. I never heard him mention Jesus. I never saw or heard of him or anybody in his family ever going to that church or in any other church. I never saw any evidence of a salvation experience in his life. I saw some crookedness in his life, but never any salvation experiences in his life. And if he thought that he could send some money to a church a couple of times a year, and somehow or another that was going to get him into heaven, he was sadly mistaken. When he passed away, I wondered, did he really know Jesus? Or was he depending on his money, his gifts? And if he didn't really know Jesus, it didn't matter how much he gave. I think of another man that I knew briefly, probably again 50 or 60 years ago. And when he passed away and the obituary was written, not a thing was said about church affiliation, a preacher, a religious service, anything at all, just simply mentioned a few things that he was sort of noted for in the community. It sort of makes me think about, you reckon, I doubt that the Egyptians gave out plaques for most bricks made in a day, or best bricks made this day, or most decorative bricks made. But if somebody had, one of those Israelites had hung a few plaques on their door that said, I was the best bricklayer, brickmaker, or whatever, that would have not impressed the death angel. The only thing that mattered was, is the blood on the door? That is absolutely the only thing that mattered. And for you and for me, when it comes to the end of life, the only thing that was mattered, going to really matter, is are we covered by the blood of Jesus? Amen. Have we come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? For those ancient Israelites, the blood on the doorpost was all that mattered. Nothing else but the blood mattered. Now let's go over to the book of Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And we'll read verse 11 through 15. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 15, and then verse 22. Beginning at verse 11, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works in serving the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And then verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Apart from the shedding of the blood, there's no forgiveness. How many thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of bulls and goats and sheep and all kinds of animals the children of Israel offered? How much blood was shed on those altars for the sins of the people? Over and over and over again. But then came Jesus. And verse 12 reminds us, it's not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Folks, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And his presenting the blood that he shed on the cross and the eternal temple in heaven that ensures our salvation. Our salvation is totally dependent upon Jesus Christ and upon the blood that he shed and our belief and our acceptance of that. Nothing else is going to matter when we stand before the Lord but the blood. We can't offer money, we can't offer works, we can't offer prestige, power, fame, nothing but the blood of Jesus. How does that song go? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Folks, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is necessary for our salvation. It's the ABC. Apart from the blood of Jesus, we don't have a shot. We don't have a chance. We don't have an opportunity to enter into the presence of the Lord. The one thing that we can plead is the blood of Jesus for our salvation. I think I used this illustration in the past, but I think it will be good just here. You know, what if I stood before the Lord and he said, Ed, why should I let you into heaven? And I said, well, I preached 4,998 sermons. And he said, sorry, 5,000 is the minimum. You don't get in. Well, Lord, I always tried to tithe. Well, you did real good, but you remember back in 1993 and you didn't tithe your Christmas bonus? So even though you gave 9.99%, you didn't get up to 10, so you don't get in. Well, Lord, I made about 25,000 visits to homes and hospitals and nursing homes. Yeah, but 30,000 is the minimum. I can't get into heaven on my preaching, my giving, or my visiting. I only get into heaven on the blood of Jesus. Amen. And so with you. You can be the finest deacon in our church or any church, but apart from the blood of Jesus, we don't get into heaven. But thank God for the blood. Thank God that He so loved that He gave. And that blood came to give us that salvation. But let's look at one more passage of Scripture over in the book of Revelation in chapter 12. And this is one of my most favorite passages because it's so helpful. It's so down to earth. It's so up to date. It's so 2020. May 2020. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Now think for a moment about the whole context of the book of Revelation. Tribulation, trials, war, pestilences. They don't mention coronavirus there, but they could. All kinds of stuff that were bad, and the attacks coming out of the foul regions of hell from the devil. All kinds of that. And here there's praise for the power of God and an overcomers. And how did they overcome? By the blood of the Lamb. How did they overcome? By the blood of the Lamb. They were completely victorious because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, how did they overcome? They said, the devil is cast down, the devil is defeated, God is exalted, salvation and strength has come. How? By the blood of the Lamb. By the word of their testimony, Jesus in heaven and we on earth agreeing, our faith is in Jesus Christ and in His blood. You read about many of the old time saints of 100 years ago and before, how they pled the blood. They pled the blood. They pled the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over every situation. And folks, there's still power in pleading the blood of Jesus over our present situation. Amen. Our homes, our lives, our bodies. There may be pestilences and viruses and bacteria and all other kind of stuff, but there's power in pleading the blood of Jesus as your protection. Now I thank God for those that are out there trying to come up with a vaccine that will deal with our present situation. And I've heard and read a few places where there may be something pretty close to helping and they're going to start trying it out. And I hope it works. Hope that various things they're coming up with work. I pray that they do. But you know, most of the medical things that they give now, they've had two or three or more years of clinical trials. And some of them, after several years, there's so many bad side effects that they say, we just can't release that to the population. And then if you watch television, even some of those that they release, and you say, boy, the side effects of this is this, 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 and this, and don't take this if you got liver problems, if you got kidney problems, if you got heart problems, if you're taking this other medicine. Oh, this is great stuff. It'll really help you out, but it could kill you. No matter what medicine or vaccine is coming up with, and like I say, I pray that they come up with something that works. Whatever it is, we won't know the side effects for several years. That's why we thank God for the blood of Jesus, for our protection from the blood of Jesus. And I'm as human as you are, and there are times when the devil goes attacking me about, well, doesn't that hurt? Did you just cough a little hard? Are you getting a temperature? Blah, 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 blah. And I just have to say, Lord, I thank you that I'm covered with your blood. And devil, if you want to play with the blood of Jesus, you just go right ahead. And he has to leave. Because every time I remind him of what happens the last time he dealt with the blood of Jesus 2,000 years ago, he got whipped. And he got whipped badly. The Bible says that Jesus made a show of him openly, made a display of a defeated devil and a victorious Christ. And that blood is that which covers you and me today. That blood is that which gave these in the book of Revelation in a terrible, terrible time victory. Their salvation was not in their money, it was not in their politics, it was not in who their political rulers were, it was in the blood of Jesus. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And they loved not their lives unto death. In other words, their commitment to the Lord was complete. Their commitment to the Lord was complete. In the book of Hebrews, where you have that chapter of faith, and it talks about those that were greatly delivered out of lion's den and fiery furnaces and other places. And then it also talks about those who died for their faith. And there were some that did. But it says they all died in faith. They all died in faith, believing in the blood of the Lamb. Now they died in faith in the Old Testament, looking forward to the blood of the Lamb. We look back to what Christ did. On the table in front of most pulpits, it says, in remembrance of me. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper or communion, we say we do it in remembrance. We do it in remembrance of what Christ did for us. We do it in remembrance of what Christ is presently doing for us. And we're doing it in remembrance of what Christ is going to do for us for all of eternity. Thank God for the blood. One of the ABCs of Christianity is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's necessary. It's powerful. It's protective. It gives us salvation. I commend to you today the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You can go on to deeper revelations, you can go on to other revelations, but one of the ABCs is the blood of Jesus. And you'll never, never, never get beyond that. If you get to the place where you think, I don't need the blood, You backslid. You're backslidden. You've messed up. We always need the blood of the Lord Jesus. If you're listening to me today and you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there's that cross out in front of you, stretched out, His arms open wide, saying, "Come unto me. Believe in me, and you'll have eternal life." If you go to hell, and you've heard a message about salvation, if you've heard about Jesus, you'll have to step over the blood to get there. And if you go to heaven, you'll go there covered by the blood of Jesus. And I pray that today every person that hears me can say, "Thank God, I'm covered by the blood." And just remember, when the devil attacks you day by day and throughout the day and sometimes through the night, plead the blood. The victory that comes through the blood is tremendous. Father, as we bow before you this morning, thank you for Jesus. Oh, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for that precious blood. And we thank you that, Father, even those that are mentioned in the book of Revelation that overcame by the power of the blood, that we can be a part of their company. And no matter what life or the devil throws at us, we can be victorious. Not because we're so smart, not because we're so educated, not because we're so brilliant, but because we depend and plead the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.